Good morning, Symphony Church. We're continuing in our journey through Malachi, and today we'll be reading Malachi 3, 13 to 15. And let me read that for us. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. So something interesting about me that I found is that as people get to know me, they're often surprised when they find out that I'm not really a movie person. People are like, what? I thought you'd be so into movies, analyzing them and studying them. And I know I might be a bit snobby when it comes to things like coffee or cooking, but I'm actually really not picky when it comes to movies. In fact, one of my favorite types of movies is the sentimental, feel-good, coming-of-age story that almost always gets very lukewarm reviews at the box office. Now, if you've seen one or two of these movies, it seems like there's always this scene where the tween-age protagonist gets into an argument with their parents, and they say something like, I hate it here. Why did we move here? Or, you don't care about me. All you want to do is make my life harder. And it's always a very obvious way to show that this boy or girl is acting out of immaturity. They don't see the full picture. And how their circumstances, they're not seeing them the same way that their mom or their dad sees them. It's kind of similar to what we see here today in today's passage. There's such an apparent contrast between the selfishness and the short-sightedness of the Israelites, and the selflessness and patience of God. Let's read a little bit more into it. We see in our passage that God calls out Israel for grumbling against him and questioning him. He says, your words have been hard against me. And of course, Israel, when confronted with this, says, how have we spoken against you? Isn't it funny how the Israelites try to plead innocent? So far in the book of Malachi, we've seen this back and forth between God and Israel, with Israel, of course, being in the wrong every single time. But wait, they say, this one we're not guilty of. When did we ever speak harshly against you, God? And I think here is where we see a bit into the condition of the Israelites' hearts. And I bet you it's a condition that we're all guilty of many times as well. You see, Israel might not have cursed their God directly or complained about him to his face, but what they were guilty of is questioning the purpose of their relationship with him. It's like they're saying, God, we know that you are God. We know that you are Lord above all and mighty beyond imagination, but what's the point of serving you? What's the point of suffering and feeling guilty and following all these rules when they don't result in anything? Look at the people who don't follow you. They're better off than we are. It's almost as if following God doesn't make a difference. The Israelites here show that they have two things very wrong about their relationship with God. One, they're doing it to gain something out of it. And two, they're measuring the fruit of their relationship by worldly standards. And I think these are both things that we fall into ourselves. Aren't there moments where we're frustrated with God because it seems like he's not helping us or answering our prayers or making us feel better about ourselves? Aren't there moments where we look at people who are smarter than us, make more money than us, have more friends than us, and think, all this following God stuff isn't getting me any closer to that? It's such a human way of thinking, isn't it? To look at this relationship with the most amazing, loving, magnificent being in the universe, one of the biggest mysteries of our life, and asking ourselves, what do I get out of this? The Israelites in their selfishness make it all about them, and they complain about how even though they were so faithful to God, which by the way, they weren't really, they haven't gotten anything in return. But they reveal how short-sighted they are, because we know that God was so faithful to them. Time and time again, he came to their rescue. He forgave them and established a relationship with them. He gave them a land, a temple, a nation, anything that they could ask for. But Israel forgets all of this. It really is silly, isn't it? Going back to the whole coming of age story, I myself came from a poor upbringing. My family barely had enough to pay rent, put food on the table, and the way we did that was through our family restaurant. Now, there came a point where I was about 12 years old, and two things happened at around the same time. One, my dad asked me to help out at the restaurant in my free time, and two, I really wanted a bike. All my friends had bikes, really nice Schwinns and Mongooses, and I just wanted to be like them. And so somewhere along the lines, I thought, if I helped out at the restaurant enough, I'm sure my dad would reward me with a bike. So I worked. Not that hard, to be honest, but I worked. And after a couple of weeks or so, I basically half-asked, half-demanded my dad to get me a bike. And when he naturally responded with, "I'm sorry, son, but we don't have enough money," I was so angry. I said something along the lines of, "I hate that we're poor. I hate that I never get the things that every child should have. I hate being in this family." And it's silly, isn't it? How I couldn't realize at the time that the reason why my family opened a restaurant, the reason why my family moved to America in the first place, was out of love for me. They worked so hard every day to ensure that I would have enough to grow and to succeed. They wanted the best for me. And there I was complaining about not having the bike that my friends had. I'm guilty of often treating God like I treated my dad. I think we're all guilty of saying what the Israelites said. It is vain to serve God. So how do we turn around? We'll talk more about this in the following passages, but for now, when it comes to selfishness and short-sightedness, we need to pursue repentance and remembrance. When it comes to selfishness and short-sightedness, we need to pursue repentance and remembrance. If you've been following God to gain for yourself, but you know in your heart that He is so much better than any worldly success or profit, then it's good to repent for the ways that you've been prodigal. If you've been questioning whether God is actually faithful, but you know in your heart that He has been with you all along, then it's good to stop and remember and think back on how faithful He has truly been. To conclude today's devotional, I invite you to spend a few minutes to pursue repentance and remembrance. Let's take just a few minutes to come before God and to commit our lives to Him by laying down our pride, our wants, and instead praising Him for His goodness and faithfulness. And before I do so, just a word to those who might actually be feeling like, "I don't actually know in my heart that He's so much better, that He's been faithful. When I look back at my life, I don't feel like God has proven Himself to me." I just want to tell you that there is hope for you yet. Our journeys are all at different places, and rather than compare yourself to what Christians should look like or are supposed to look like, I encourage you, just spend this moment to get closer to Him, to open up your heart so that He can show you for the first time maybe how faithful He is, or for the first time how good and how worthy He is of your attention. So whether you want to come back to God or you have yet to really experience Him, let's just take some time to pray, to open up ourselves to Him. Lord, we confess that so many times we make this relationship between You and us about ourselves. We ask, how come we're not gaining more from it? We ask, how come everything's not going well in our lives? We ask, is it really worth it to know you and to follow you? But Lord, I pray that you can remind us every single time you've taught us just how sweet it is to know you. Lord, just how amazing it is that through the blood of Christ, his death and his resurrection, that we know the Father of lights, that we know the creator of the universe, and that we know not just you, but just how much you love us, God. Lord, I pray that we not be like the Israelites who just make it about themselves, who say that serving God is vain because we don't get anything out of it. But instead, I pray for every single member of our church, for every person listening, that we know that it is so worth it to spend one day in front of you, in your presence, than thousands and thousands anywhere else. Lord, would you help us? Would your spirit guide us to see how good you are? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.